Hello and welcome to episode 199 of a Veg Grub podcast. Today is the 17th of December 2018 and my name's Richard. Now currently I'm on my way to my little shed in order to pull out some of my garden tools to give them their annual maintenance. Something I like to do every year, just keeps the tools in good working order for the next year. While I go and do that, let's go have a listen to what I've been doing over the last week and what the Garden Days candidate suggests to do for this next week. Well, today is Sunday the 16th of December 2018, and this is the first and probably the only diary entry for this week. That is because I've been in bed with this horrible cold. I had it a couple of weeks ago and it's returned, and it's really taken it out of me this week. So yeah, not great, but I'm over it now. What have I done today? Well, I got up this morning and I let the chickens out of their run and so they could spend all day in a vegetable patch, which I'm pretty happy for them to do. While they were out, one of the tasks that we, my wife and I, that is, wanted to do was this last pumpkin that we've had sat on our worktop since October, November time. It was still perfectly healthy, but we just decided it was time to pull it into use. So we've cut it open. And when I cut it open, I found that some of the seeds, and quite a few of them, had started to sprout and grow. It's really, really interesting. I put the picture on Instagram, but it's kind of interesting to see this sort of thing, because that is nature working at its finest. I mean, that is how plants grow. That is the job of a seed. But yeah, it was really, really cool. After the pumpkin, I looked over my onion stores. Now, the Troy are still storing absolutely fine. My other two varieties had started to sprout, so we've had to use up the ones that are sprouted. And, well, we just kind of felt we should chop all of them up and pop the rest in the freezer as chopped onions so they're ready to use. And that's what we did. It took a while, of course, but, well, that's putting food to use, isn't it? I mean, I don't like waste. And if they're on the turn, I mean, or they're not going to store much longer, I use chopped onions quite a lot, so if I can just go to the freezer and pull out some chopped onions, there we go. Sorted. After that, I decided I was going to tidy the garden up a bit. I mean, it's I've neglected gardeners of late. I've been concentrating a lot on the allotment, and with the weather and things, I've not done a huge amount in the garden. So I wanted, one thing was my pots. I've got hundreds of pots, and I felt they needed to be tidied up. Ideally washed, which I tried to do, but it was quite time consuming. Broken pots are thrown away. They should really go for recycling, thinking about it. So I might have to pull those out and recycle them. Yes, and that's just tidied up my garden quite a bit. I would like to cut back my ivy I have grown, but I've got so many birds that are growing or living in there that I don't want to disturb them. So that will have to wait. I also need to give the patio area a good sweep up one day, but I'm not too fussed at the moment because the birds are using all the leaves and stuff to build their nests and homes, as are the hedgehogs, so I'm kind of leaving it for them, dare I say, although it'll be some good material for the compost. Time will tell. Weekly harvest report did come out just now, and it's been very low. Because of this cold and flu, we just had chicken eggs and a few herbs as required, which are just outside my back door, so they're easy to collect and just what have you. So a very, very low week in terms of harvest, but that is the joys of being cold, and this time of year, it's going to happen. So let's go have a look at what the Garden Days calendar suggests to do for this next week. This week in the Garden Days calendar, it suggests avoid using salt to clear snow-covered paths or icy paved areas adjoining beds and borders. Once the thaw begins, the dissolved salt will permeate the soil and may damage the roots of nearby plants. Instead, sprinkle with sand, grit, ashes or gravel, which will melt the snow without harming the nearby plants. Well, I've never actually placed salt down on my paths. Where I am, I don't get it. Don't get much snow, don't get much ice. So I don't tend to worry too much about that. Instead, I just let it happen naturally, I guess. I don't apply anything. So, yeah, I can't really say anything about that. But I don't think that's bad advice. Salt is known to kill plants, so it kind of makes sense. Well, moving on from the Garden Days calendar, I've had a question from a listener and an Instagram gardener called Young Ground Grows. During the week, I put a picture up of a cauliflower, and I think it seemed to be quite popular. People seemed to like my cauliflower. And Young Ground Grows asked if I could share how I grew such a good cauliflower, which I'm quite privileged to be asked, to be honest. It was a very, very lovely cauliflower, and I had several of them. What's the secret? Well, I tend to grow cauliflowers for spring or winter use. I tend to avoid summer cauliflowers. Cauliflowers, I find, tend to like it a bit. Oh, what's the word? They like it cool. Summer cauliflowers, I find, they get a bit too hot, which causes them to bolt. And bolting, as we know, is not good for a cauliflower. Now, bolting is obviously the flower trying to go to seed. And a cauliflower head is actually its I think it's its pre-flower. It would become a flower. It is my understanding. I could be wrong on that, but I don't worry too much about the science of it. All you need to know is that if they get too hot, you will lose the nice firm ball that you get from cauliflower, and they'll start looking a bit more like an actual flower head. Now, I use a variety called All Year Round. Seeds are available from Thompson & Morgan. They're meant to be a dwarf variety, but I found them to be fairly large. The heads themselves are quite large, and they're a nice, tight cauliflower head. And I would say they're just about the right size for a decent meal. I tend to sow the seeds between March and June. Well, these ones that I'm growing, or shared a picture of the other day, were sown in June. They can be sown directly where they are to grow, but I always like to grow them start the seeds off in my potting shed, in seed trays, and then plant them out at a later date once they're big enough. Generally, when they're about 6 inches tall, I suppose, is when I would plant them out, and they're looking strong. But of course, you've got to harden them off before they go out and just get them used to outdoor weather. Planting out, I do about 30 centimetres in between each cauliflower. I've got a very hard clay soil, so I do add quite a bit of manure and compost. But where these cauliflowers particularly grew, the manure was absorbed into the soil, so it virtually is just in the hard clay. And that's been pretty good for brassicas, because being a brassica, it likes a nice firm soil. And the clay lends itself really nicely just to being a firm soil. After they were planted out, I didn't really do much. I just kept them watered, the odd feed of chicken manure for a high nitrogen feed, and let them grow until they were ready to harvest. Now, harvesting, I said last week, you've got to harvest cauliflower as soon as they are ready. As soon as they look ready and they're a nice, firm ball of cauliflower, harvest them. Just cut the head off with a knife. If you leave it any longer, they will bolt. And it can happen very, very quickly. Within a week is pretty common. So yeah, that is how I grow cauliflower ready. Very, very easy. I may do a proper growing guide in the future if you're interested, but that's just a quick run through on how I grew this year's cauliflower. Well, as I said, it's time for my annual tool maintenance. Something I do like to do every year just to prolong the life of my tools and keep them in a good working order. What I generally start with is just a visual inspection. Now, at the moment, I've got my hoe in my hand. It's got a wooden shaft with a metal blade. Metal is looking a little bit on the rusty side, so that's going to need a bit of a clean up. It's only surface rust, so it's not going to take a huge amount to do. The wooden shaft as well is actually feeling a little bit dry, so that's going to need an oiling. But we'll come to that later. First of all, we'll start with a clean up. And what I do, I've got a drill with a wire wool, and we'll just run that over the whole of the hoe. It's going to up the speed a bit because it's running a little slow for my liking. So that is now got the
metal blade on my hoe. Just cleaned up and looking a hell of a lot better. It's cleared a lot of the surface for us just doing that. That, what, took 2 minutes? Didn't take long, did it? Now the shaft, I'll come to... Well, I'm just going to give that a light sanding down with a bit of sandpaper. It doesn't actually need much. I'm just doing that at the moment, so that's okay. So this comes to the next bit with this hoe, is sharpening. And for that, I'm going to need my bench grinder. So with my bench grinder, what I'm going to do, first of all, is just look at the hoe, the blade in particular, and if there's any nicks or cuts, they need to be ground out. Thankfully, I don't have any. They generally happen. If you're hoeing and you hit a stone, it will take a chunk of metal out, or it can take a chunk of metal out, I should say. And that just leaves a little dent, which isn't ideal. But thankfully, I don't actually have any. But what I have got on my hoe, I can see there's a beveled edge where it's slightly angled to make a sharp point. That is what I want to sharpen up and get back into shape. And it's very, very easy to do, actually, especially with a bench grinder. I like how it sets the angle so that it matches the angle of the blade. What happens is this, the bench grinder is a spinning stone. It's a sharpening stone. And quite often you have a little metal plate in front that you can set at certain angles to match what you're sharpening. And that's got that set up for me. I can see that's working perfectly fine for me. So, get the bench grinder going, angle grinder. I'm getting them all confused now. And we'll get it up to speed. Right, there we go. That's up to speed. So now I'm just going to take that hoe blade and just run it straight across. A lot of sparks came out of that, as expected. But I've done that in one smooth motion. The other thing is, you've got to repeat this a few times, but always, always, I like to stop in between and let the blade cool down, because if the metal gets too hot, it can make the metal brittle, and that could mean you could end up snapping or smashing the hoe into pieces when in use. So there we go, second, third, and it's all looking nice and shiny on that blade now. Just do that one more. Right, that is looking good. I'll just run my edge. Yeah, that feels nice and sharp. Now, what I'm now going to do, my bench grinder has two different sanes on it, one for a coarser and one for a finer grit. So I'm just going to do the same again on the finer grit. Right, let me turn the bench grinder off. It's taken a while to slow down, as you can hear. Hopefully you can hear. So now I'm just running my finger across this hoe edge to feel how sharp it is, and if I can feel it catching on my thumb, I know it's sharp. Yeah, that is good. That is perfect. Now, I do this every year as an annual maintenance, but when I'm using it, I actually keep a file with my tools and just run the file across it every now and then. So I've made it pretty quick to take care of this hoe today, but that's easy enough. But I also, because I run the file over it quite often, it's easy to keep it sharp, and a sharp tool is better in the garden or any use. If a tool's meant to be sharp, it is best sharp. The other thing I do is I have a bucket of sand and oil in my shed. When I finish using it, I just plunge the tool into this sand and oil mixture. The sand tends to clean up the blade or the tool, wipes away all the mud and stuff, as well as if it's quite a coarse sand, it will keep it sharp as well, help with the sharpening. And the oil also lubricates the metal tool in order to help that, which of course stops mud from sticking to it. So that is a very, very good tip. Now that's got the hoe done on the metal side of things. My spade, I'm going to do exactly the same as I just said. Yeah, I'm going to sharpen up the blade once I've cleaned it down. You may think there's not, it's a bit of a unknown thing that a spade is meant to have a sharp edge. It is a blade. That's why quite often you find when you buy a new spade, and I mean a brand new spade, it's easy to dig with, it's easy to cut into the soil. After a while it does dull and become not so sharp. So again, following what I've just said, clean it up and run the blade over. So let's go and see how that goes. So let's got it cleaned up now. There we go. Didn't take long for that to do that, did it? So easy. Now, I've still got to do the handles, but before that I've got the fork. And the fork doesn't have a blade so much. So my bench grinder is still winding down. But it does have some sharp points, which could also do with the occasional just ground back into shape. But I won't bore you with that. I'm going to crack on and do this, and then I'll come back and talk about the shafts, the spade handles. Right, well, I'm back in my little potting shed now. And as I said, I'm now looking at my handles. Now, all my handles are wooden. I do have some metal handles on some tools, generally down the allotment, but I much prefer wooden handles. I think they're more comfortable and they're nicer looking. But they do go dry if they're not cared for. And that's actually quite easy to take care of with regular treatment. I use boiled linseed oil, which is fairly cheap and can be bought from most gardening centres or DIY centres, that sort of thing. Now, over that bucket of sand and oil I spoke of earlier, I put what my handle. I take my boiled linseed oil and a rag, and I pour the linseed oil onto the rag and then just run it up and down the handles, which I am now doing as we speak. It's it's quite easy. My handles themselves are in pretty good shape. The hoe did need a slight sand down just to smooth it out, but yeah, otherwise, apart from that, they didn't need anything else. But the boiled linseed oil just, well, it helps the wood. It stops the wood from drying out, like I said earlier. And that means when you're using it, one, it feels nicer to hold and it's more comfortable. But also, if you're putting any pressure on it, it's less likely to break because it's supple. It's got moisture to it. When it goes dry and brittle, it could snap a lot easier. But that's got, these are now done. Now the metal ends that I spoke of earlier that I've cleaned and sharpened, some people like to rub some oil or even some paint over them. I tend not to bother so much, but that's another option. Again, the sand and the oil does most of the work for me when I'm using it, and that's what I will continue to use. So that is my tools done for this year. Well, I say that's all my tools done. I've got quite a few more to do, but that is my general maintenance kit. Now, I obviously have secateurs, and that's a completely different ball game, but that is one I will talk about another day. Well, I'm back in the warm now. The tools are done for this year. That'll keep me going for another year at least, as long as I keep them looked after and sharp, of course. Now, I have to apologise. I'm having a few technical difficulties, so this podcast might be released a little later than normal, but it will be out, don't worry. Well, obviously it's out because you're listening to it, aren't you? So I'm going to wrap up for this week. First of all, I need to announce this week's seed competition winner, and that goes to Bethan again. So seeds are on the way to you. Thank you very much. And well, actually, it was your post about the chickens. I'm really pleased to see you've rescued some chickens, and I'm hoping we'll be able to follow your progress with those, because they're really, really cool. Anyway, that is it for this week. I've got this week off work. I'm so happy. I haven't had time off since March. Next week, the episode will be the 200th episode. I've got my friend Lee coming around, and we're going to have a chat about my garden and his perspective and a bit of podcasting, I expect. So that'll be cool. So until then, please take care, and I'll see you again next time.